survivors, and both of his daughters died, and his wife was the only one that was saved from their family, and she sent a telegraph back to him, saved alone, that she was the only survivor. So he took, of course, the next ship to England to be with his wife, and he asked the captain that when he got to the spot where the shipwreck had taken place, he wanted to know where that spot was. And so the captain told him when they got to that same spot, and he went out to the bow of the ship, and he wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." So we're going to sing that this morning.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul.
With my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul. Glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. When my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Amen. And I failed to mention our lovely accompanist, my daughter Christiana, who will be heading back. She'll be heading back to college after the first service. I mentioned already I'm really excited to have my dad in the house today. Don't go away, Dad. You're coming right on up here. And he's going to be bringing the word this morning. And so could you just give a warm welcome to my father, Pastor John. He planted a church many, many years ago that my brother pastors today up in northern Illinois, a town called Ottawa, Illinois. And now he is semi-retired. He's moved back there, but old pastors never retire. They just keep pastoring. So he's helping my brother up there. We've just spent a wonderful week together out in the woods. We were in Virginia, kind of out where Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, all those guys were from, and we celebrated Thanksgiving this past week. We stayed in something called a yurt. Ever heard of a yurt? A yurt was really cool. It's like a big old tent, and so we stayed in a big tent with Now, don't think we were roughing it. We had wood floors and heat, and it was amazing kind of a tent, but we had a great time. And so let's all welcome my dad. God bless you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sounds like I'm wired. Really glad to be here. If I had a cap with a bill on it. Well, there are people out there. Hi. Really glad to be here. We have had a wonderful week living in the yurt. We visited James Madison's property, and I actually think I voted for him. But it was nice to be that close to the old president. Saw his grave. But I've really been looking forward to being here this morning. I promised that last week that there'd be a word from Methuselah this week, and here I am. And what I'd like to do this morning is just talk to you for a while. Is that all right? I've earned that right. I'm just going to talk to you this morning like I was at home, so you're not strangers to me. Before I get started, I want to say how thrilled I am to be in Life Church, to see the changes that have taken place, to see the work of all of you, to enjoy the work of Phil and Melanie. I actually worked with Phil and Melanie for 12 years at their church in Southern Illinois. Phil and Melanie were my boss, and we had a good time for 12 years. We saw a lot of things accomplished. So I suspect that the good things are going to continue to happen here, and we're certainly very actively engaged in the fact that we pray for you and pray with you consistently. That being said, just let me tell you that I've been a Christian for over 60 years. I gave my heart to Christ when I was the ripe old age of 12. And from the very start, I've just enjoyed a blessed life. I don't want to brag, but one of the first things that happened to me as a Christian was a Sunday school teacher pressed into my hand a batch of scripture verses and asked me to memorize them. And the first verse that I ever learned as a new Christian is found in Philippians, the first chapter, the sixth verse. And it says this in the King James translation. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I've already said I was really just a junior high kid at that time, but I internalized Philippians 1:6. And what Philippians 1:6 said to me as a young boy was that God is the initiator of what just happened in my soul and my spirit, and he will be the finisher of what has happened in my spirit. And all things being equal and me being faithful to fill in the blank between his beginning and his ending, I looked at that as having a great life. And I connected with God's people like you. And I came to love the church. It became my home and my family. And I would say to you, some of you are just as green as I was 62 years ago. The church is new to you. I would just recommend that you fall into the work of the church. Get behind your leaders. When you're asked to participate, even if you don't feel qualified. I certainly wasn't qualified. But the church gave me a platform. It gave me a voice. It gave me a song. It gave me permission to participate in the things of God. And this morning, just being here, I really do feel a little Methuselistic. I mean, surrounded by these kids, you know. What a thrill that is. You know, there are a lot of churches in America that are starving to death for the lack of young people who make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Yeah, that's, well, that was free. But I just feel strongly about the strength I feel this morning and some of the music you sang today. Wow. About his faithfulness. I relate to that. God is faithful. So I guess what I want to say this morning is that I've lived a charmed life. I believe from Philippians 1:6 that somehow everything was going to be all right. And whatever I face, whatever temptation, whatever failure, I just sensed in my spirit that somehow God was going to make it all right. Have you had that feeling? Have you had that feeling yet? That God is just at work in you and it's his power in you that is going to make you a great life. So I was born in 1940, grew up through the 40s and the 50s. I got to live through the Elvis era. And all of some of you, a few of you remember the 50s. But the 50s were great. I met the girl that I married in the 50s, and she's here today. And you ought to shake her hand before you leave. I loved her then. I love her now. But we just had a good life. We've had a good life together. The 60s, I would say, were cruising years for us. I finished my education. We both got teaching jobs and had a great church, had a chance to lead the choir, teach the youth, do the bus ministry, and on and on and on. We loved it. And it was during the 60s that God touched us both and gave us a sense that God had something great for us, and he called us. We sense that God called us into ministry. And I would advise you this morning, if you're a young Christian, and if you haven't reached some brittle old age where you don't hear the voice of God like you once did, I would advise you to tune in to what God has for you, because he has a plan for your life. Say this with me. He has a plan for my life. Say it. He has a plan for my life. Say it again. He has a plan for my life. We sensed that God had a plan for our life, and we began snooping around for it, looking for clues. And by the end of the 60s, we had entered and finished 3 years of Bible college. We'd left our teaching careers behind, and we were set to win the world. We thought we were prepared. We were just waiting for the big call, for someone to call and say, we want someone like you to come and be the pastor of our great church. And guess what? The phone didn't even ring. That might happen. But I have learned. Did you hear me? I have learned over the last 62 years that God has a time pattern for my life, and sometimes he protects me. And his protection sometimes disappoints me. It makes me feel like my style is being cramped. I became a teacher in the Bible college that I graduated from, and in the first semester that I taught, I became very ill. I went to the clinic and had blood drawn, and I just thought, well, everything's going to be all right. He who began a good work in me will finish the work in me. I wasn't afraid. I went in for my prognosis. You know, there's always a diagnosis and then a prognosis, and the teacher or the doctor leaned over the counter, and I said, well, what is it? There's surely some kind of a prescription that you want to give me. And the doctor said, what I suggest that you do is that you give your children memories. And for the first time in my life, thought, she thinks that I might die. And she said, you'll probably not live till age 40. You should give your children memories, make sure your insurance is up to date. I don't think you should have any more kids. And so that finished my career as a Bible college teacher. I was no place to go. And I'm making a very long story fit into 30 minutes today. But a door opened for us to go to the town that Phil has mentioned probably a number of times to you, a city in northern Illinois. A friend called me, and we didn't know what we were going to do. We were broke. We had no destination. And the phone rang, and I said, hello? And it was God. But in a way it was. A friend said to me, John, and he chuckled when he said it. He said, I really just called because I know you've been very sick, and I want you to know we've been praying for you. But he said, and he almost was embarrassed to mention, he said, there's a church in Ottawa that needs a pastor. And I thought, something welled up within me, really? And then he added, they don't have any people, but there's a nice building there. They painted it. They fixed it up. They've hung curtains at the window. All they need is a pastor. And it's amazing. I just got such a taste for Ottawa. I talked it over with my wife, and she's the most positive person on the planet. I can't even be negative. I have no permission to be negative. When I want to be negative for a day, I just leave the house until I clean up my act. And when I come back, I'm ready for positivity again. You need to know Phyllis. She's the best thing that has ever happened to me on this earth. I mean it. The applause is a little weak, but I know you really meant it. We went to Ottawa. We looked over that building. No. It would seat 70 people. All they need is a pastor. And before we left town, we'd bought a home. We went back to the city. We loaded a truck, and we came to Ottawa. And by now, we were in the process of giving our kids memories. I was weakening by the day. I was told that I was in end-stage kidney disease, and I was learning what all that meant. It might mean dialysis. It might mean transplant, or it might mean death. And it didn't make a lot of sense, but we were moving toward opening a church in Ottawa, and on the 7th of November, 1971, I went to the pulpit. I'd lost a lot of weight. I look at the pictures. I'm amazed. I say to myself, what on earth was I thinking of? I had this sallow yellow complexion. And that day, God had led me to the first chapter of Jeremiah. And in the first chapter of Jeremiah, God calls Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, I'm calling you to be a prophet to the nations. You're going to preach to nations. And Jeremiah said, oh, no, I'm not. I'm just a child. I'm speechless. I have all these imperfections. And you know what God said? He said, God said to him, I have known you from the time you were in your mother's womb. I called you when you were in your mother's womb. And I preached that day like there was no tomorrow. I preached that day just like Jeremiah said. God said to Jeremiah, I have made you a defensed city. I have made you an iron pillar. I have given you walls of brass, and you will be resisted now and then from here and there. But you'll preach to the nations. And You can read Jeremiah. He stayed with the task. And I just sensed that day that God was going to build something great. I mean, I borrowed the testimony of Jeremiah. I made it mine. And even though I was weak, I decided I was going to be strong. Even though I couldn't stand well, I was going to be an iron pillar. And the work progressed, and we prayed that God would give us a miracle. And the more we prayed, the sicker I got. That ought to encourage you this morning. And by Thanksgiving, I had reached a point where I couldn't stand. And I went to the clinic, had blood drawn, and they recommended that I get to the Mayo Clinic as soon as I could, and we did. And again, my good wife got things going. We dumped off our kids. We took a plane, and we flew away. And by now, folks, by now, the words "everything is going to be all right" was a little hard to form in my vocabulary. Everything is going to be all right? Then why is all of this happening? It was Thanksgiving Day, 1971. I was in for a small surgery to prepare me for dialysis. A few weeks later, I was to have both kidneys removed. You know what that means. You lose both kidneys. It reduces your traffic to the bathroom, for sure. But it means I'll either live for the rest of my life on dialysis or I will get a kidney transplant. My entire family was tissue typed. My mother was an average match. My youngest brother was a perfect match. And they couldn't take the perfect match because he was too young, even though I had promised to keep him out of Vietnam. And I received my mother's kidney. But before that, at the time that both kidneys were removed, I went into the darkest period of my whole life. And again I say, to say everything's going to be all right was difficult. I'd had the surgery. My wife and kids had gone back to Ottawa to our empty church building. And I was alone in a hospital room. And I was, you know, when you're alone, you can think anything you want to think. You can say anything you want to say to God. You can fuss with him. You can argue with him. And I was paranoid. Why was I paranoid? Well, I had had two roommates with the same problem, and they had both had expired. So, everything is going to be all right? That night, I was afraid to turn off my light in the room. My Bible was on the nightstand. And I said to God, if you've ever spoken to me in my life, this would be a good night. And I waited for his voice. I wished for someone to burst into the room and say, "Yay, the Lord has said to me, you are going to rise from your bed." But it didn't happen. And I opened my Bible, and I did something that I was always warned against. I played a little Bible roulette. My wife always reminded me, "John, if you ever do that, you might read Judas went out and hung himself." But I was desperate. My Bible fell open to 2 Corinthians 5. And 2 Corinthians, I'm not going to read it this morning, but I'm going to give you John Nordstrom's paraphrase. It said, "This body that you're living in," that's the first verse, "this body that you're living in, when it dies, is going to receive another body in heaven. And this body that you have on earth is groaning for the day that you have that body." And I stopped reading, and I said, "God, this isn't what I had in mind." I was looking for something that would cause me to say that everything is going to be all right. But I was proud enough to say, "I'm going to read until I read myself out of a jam." And I read until I reached the ninth verse, and in the King James Bible it says, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we might be accepted of him." And in that moment, I recognized that my life or my death was not the important issue in this room, but it was that I have a right relationship with God. And that's the most important thing in your life. And if I were a young man today, I would make sure that I had done business with God and had a right relationship with him. And I said, "God, I've tried." And the presence of the Lord came into that room. And the Holy Spirit was so thick in that room, I felt like if I opened my eyes, I would see Jesus. And I said, "God, do you have a word for me?" And I heard no audible voice. But let me tell you what I heard in my spirit and my soul. Just as surely as I'm standing here, and I know that experience is subjective, and you have a right to put it in a test tube and see if it's real, but here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Everything is going to be all right. And the church said, "Hallelujah." Amen. That's the truth. I worship for how long, I don't know. But I was able to turn off the light and have a great night's sleep. And the next day was the first day of the rest of my life. Things didn't get better right away. I went through 4 or 5 weeks of recovery. And on the 6th of January, 1972, I received my mother's kidney. And I remember the feeling in intensive care of seeing red blood vessels in my hand replacing the yellow that I'd experienced for months. And I was able to say, "Everything is going to be all right." Recovery was great. I got to go back to my home, and we went to work on that empty church building. And for 15 years, we worked hard. God blessed. People were saved. And in 1981, I went back to Mayo Clinic for a checkup. I just assumed everything was fine and went to St. Paul, Minnesota to be with our son John and his wife Glenda. And while I was there, the clinic called and said, "We'd like you to come back." We went back, and I discovered that I was in chronic rejection of the kidney, my mother's kidney that I had for 15 years. And again, it was hard to say, "Everything is going to be all right." I'm talking to you this morning about a miracle that happened in my life. I know there are kidney transplants being done every day. It was pretty primitive back in my day. A lot of people died back in my day. And there were concerns back in my day that we don't have today. That night, after taking a huge injection of anti-rejection agents, we went to a motel room. My son and daughter-in-law in one bed, Phyllis and I in another. I couldn't sleep that night. I was saying to God, and I'm as human as anybody in this room, I was saying, "God, what's happening right now? Why is this happening now?" We had just launched the building of a new school in our city. We're right in the middle of it, and we were hoping for great things. How could this be happening now? And while I tossed and turned my son in the next bed, he fell asleep, and the room sounded like a small sawmill. He was snoring away, and my wife laying quietly beside me, and I'm dying in my spirit. How can this be happening? How can we endure this now? And the snoring stopped. And John began to talk in his sleep. And here's what he said. "Lord, I don't understand what my dad is going through right now. But I know you understand. And everything is going to be all right." He resumed snoring. And great man of faith that I am, as I rolled and tossed, I said, that was my imagination. I just wanted to hear that. And I spoke in my wife's ear. I said, did you hear what John said? And she said, I heard what he said. Not long after that, my perfect younger brother called me. He says, whenever you need my kidney, I'm ready to go. And in 1987, after about 5 years of rejection, my youngest brother gave me his kidney. And again, things have been great. Everything's been all right. God's been with me. I could have died. I didn't deserve what God's given me. But from age 31 to now 74, what a fantastic journey it's been. Everything's been all right. I'm trying to mentor a young couple back home, Jesse and Alyssa. Jesse's 28. About the time I started having trouble, he has tumors in his brain. And I'd love to go home and hold that couple close and convince them that in Christ, in his economy, in his way of doing things, everything is going to be all right. Would you stand, please? Is my time up? It must be. I just felt, as I've prayed through the night, I'd want this relatively young church, due to so many young people in here, I'd just like to call you to faith. I'd just love it that you could say in your spirit today, I want Jesus at the center of my life, the center of my being. And so as we stand here this morning, Lord, humbled by all that you've done and all that you've accomplished, God, I just thank you for the privilege of relating my story to this wonderful church at a crucial time in their development. Church, I want to say, I just want to tell you that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Everything is going to be all right. If you believe that, say amen. If you believe that, say amen again. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity of talking to you this morning. God bless you.
Wow, and the story continues. One part of the story, the night before he gave his mother gave him a kidney, she called him down to her room and said, I don't want to go through this surgery without knowing the Lord. And she gave her heart to the Lord the night before she gave my dad a kidney. And this is where I kind of weave into the story, Eddie, because when my dad recovered, my grandmother and I got baptized at the same time. I just really believe that God wants to save this congregation. Every little thing is going to be all right. You believe that? Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. And this morning, somebody needed to hear that word. Somebody. You know, we all needed to hear that word, but somebody, it's the Lord talking to you this morning and saying everything's going to be all right. Maybe you're here today and you haven't yet made that confession of faith to say, I need the Lord in my life, and I need not to lead it on my own, but I want to turn over the keys. I want to let Jesus be the leader of my life, because my way hasn't worked, and I need to know that he's in control of my life. And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now, and just all pray along with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and I thank you for a word from the Lord today, Lord, just the breath of God breathing over us, Lord, that you who have begun this good work in us are going to carry it on to completion. And Lord, we're here today, and each of us, Lord, that hits us in a different way, but today, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would come into our lives, and we ask, Lord, that you would be in control, and that we receive you today as our Lord and Savior, and we ask, Lord God, for you to just take over. You're an awesome God. We need you this morning. Lord, I didn't expect to be in the place that I'm in today. Some of you have connect with that word this morning, and I need, Lord God, just that word of assurance that you're with me. And Lord, as we look back, Lord, you've been faithful to us through every difficult circumstance of our life. You've been there, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Today, maybe you prayed that prayer for the first time and asked Jesus in your heart. If that's you today, we're not going to embarrass you and ask you to come forward or anything, but would you just raise your hand and say, I prayed that prayer, Pastor. Would you just raise your hand across this building if that's you today? And if you're here today and just say that this was a word from the Lord for you, just that reassurance that everything's going to be all right, would you raise your hand in this building today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If you made some kind of commitment today and you want to, or you have a prayer request and you want to put that on the insert of the bulletin, the ushers are going to be coming by to wait on you for the morning tithe and offering. And we're going to pray again for that. But just before we receive the offering, as you've had an opportunity to give and as we continue to sing this song, if there's anybody that wants to come forward for special prayer, and I know my mom and dad are here, and they'd be glad to pray with you as well. If you just want to stand up here in God's presence and be prayed for this morning, we invite you to do that. But God, we just pray that you'd bless your people now as they give, and we thank you, Lord, for the word that you sent to us, Lord, and the encouragement that it brings. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Go ahead and lead us in worship. And if you need special prayer, come forward.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come. Struggle.